We begin the current daf. Sech this nazar daf samach hey. We begin on the bottom of the samach daled and beis. Four lines up for the bottom of the yomid. But the gemara continues with the next mishnah. And as the Rush explains, says the reason for these next two mishnayos are because that these halachas have the next three mishnayos. They have this halacha of what was mentioned in the previous mishnah was called raglayim ladavar. Raglayim ladavar means to say that the indicator is that should be based on what the leanings are. Because in the previous mission we said that there's a halacha of Tumas HaTohim, which is a unique halacha, L'moshe Messina, that applies to Nazar and the Korban Pesach, and that is if it's a Tumah that was in the depth and no one possibly could have known about. Moreover, is that he only finds out about it after he finishes his taglachas of his Naziris, and moreover that he was a Cheskes Tahara and not a Cheskes Tumah. So then there's Raglayim L'davar to say that you were Tahar already. So therefore, you're going to maintain that tahara. So although the Rush explained, it's not really based on logic; it's really halacha mishnah mishnah. But that was how the mishnah frees it of raglayim ladavar. Therefore, our gemara continues with the next mishnah is of that have the same concept of raglayim ladavar. So the mishnah begins, hamaitzi meis b'tchila. So if someone finds a corpse initially in a place where it was never known that there was a grave there. So let's say they're doing excavations, they're building, they're making the foundation, they're digging into the ground, and behold, they find a grave. Now, moreover, it's mushkiv kedarkai. It's laying in the normal way how people bury dead people, which the Gemara will explain what's that coming to exclude. So then the halacha is noit loy ve'es tefur sasai. So possibly you want this area, you're building over here. So you take that corpse, and meaning to say that it's permitted to remove the person who is buried over there, and to bury him somewhere else. And moreover, you take the earth that was buried with that person, which is like a certain amount of shear that the Gemara, a certain measurement that the Gemara will explain how much that is. That's what's called tefusa from the word of typhus, what it grabs of the area of surrounding the corpse. And so too, if he finds shnayim, if he finds two corpses where they're digging up, neitlo mes tefur sasan, so you could take them and bury them somewhere else, together with the earth that's around them. However, the Mishnah says, Matash Shlesha, they're finding there's already three corpses here that they find where they're digging. So then the Mishnah says, Im yesh bein ze lo ze, midalad ames v'atshmeina, if there is from the first grave until the third grave, not less than four ames and not more than eight ames, so harezu shchunas kvar. So this is the halachic status of literally a neighborhood of graves. In other words, it's indicative that they were placed over here to be a cemetery for burial purposes. And therefore, a cemetery cannot be dug up and to move them to be able to build something else over there. Now, the Rush points out, the halacha actually would be that even if you have one grave, if you know that the person that is there was buried for the purposes of burial, then it would be forbidden to move even just one grave. The only reason why our Mishnah said regarding one or two is that we say that very likely, since there's only one or two over here, they really weren't buried for the purposes of burial. They were just supposed to be there for a short period of time till they were able to move them to their permanent burial place. Or very likely is that they were buried in someone else's field without permission, and therefore they don't acquire their place to be considered that this is their burial place. The only thing is, our Mishnah says, but when you find three, so that's obvious that this was a designated place to be for burial purposes, to be a cemetery. And the reason for this is because the length of their graves, which was underground in these caves, were a length of 8 amas, and their width was a width of 4 amas. So that's why the Mishnah said if it's within that area, in other words, if it's more than 8 amas, so then we don't have to assume that that's their cemeteries because it wasn't bigger than 8 amas. Moreover, if it's less than 4 amas, it also wouldn't be indicative from the first to the third because that's their width was not less than 4 amas. So it has to be within 4 and 8 amas from the first to the last. Then it's either because it's from the width area, or if it's within 8 amas, then it's from the length of the cemetery. But if it's within that area, which is how the cemeteries were, was it by 4 by 8, then you say that this is probably a cemetery, and therefore you can't move any of the graves. Now, continue at the top of Samachem et Aleph. So now that you found three, so actually, we extend this halachic concern even further. Now, because that you found a cemetery, you have to now check 20 amas further, which the reason for 20 amas, as the Rush explains in detail, where the Gemara elsewhere actually in Baba Basra defines why is it 20 amos, is that that's the length of two ma'arei. So ma'arei is an immediate area of where they would have this area of where they would bury. They would have these catacombs. They would have these graves underground. So that's the length of two of them, because the way they would be, they would have one, so to speak, cemetery, and then there would be a chatzar, a courtyard, that would connect to another one. So each one, as we explained before, is 8 amos. 8 plus 8 is 16, plus the chatzar, the courtyard, was 6. So although that actually comes out to 22, the Gemara there explains that, according to, let's say, the opinion of Reb Shimon that we're going with, would hold it was to be told about Nephilim, by the miscarriages, by young children that die, where there they would be smaller, and therefore that's why it would come out to 20 amos. That's why you have to inspect 20 amos further, because since you found one here, we have to be concerned that maybe this is the far end of one, so you have to go all the way to the end, 20 amos later, to see, are there graves here, because there's reason to assume that's how they would make their graves. Again, which would be 4 by 8, then that would be connected through a courtyard to another 4 by 8. So you have to go from one to the other end, 20 amos, to make sure that we're not in an area which has more graves, because we don't want to desecrate the graves that are kind of as mekaymei. You can't move them. You have to keep them as they are. Now, matzah echad b'seif eser mama, if you find another grave at the end of 20 amos, then you actually have to check 20 amos past that. And the reason is, and this is the reason why we're mentioning this halach over here in this Mishnah, is shereglayim ledavar, because there's indicators that seem to tell us that this field where we're digging up now, that we're finding graves, was made to be a cemetery, and therefore there's reason to assume that there are other ma'aris, there are other caves where they buried in this field. And again, that's why we're quoting this here, because of reglayim ledavar, this concept that was mentioned in the previous Mishnah, which was regards to halachas of Nazir, although this is talking about a totally different topic, but we mention these other Mishnahs that are mentioned elsewhere in Shas, just as a continuum of this idea of reglayim ledavar. Now, as the Mishnah concludes, because she'ilu tchila matzoi, because had we only found this one grave, which we found at the end of 20 amos, initially without any other indicators, noit leves tefosase. The halacha would actually be that you could just take that one grave, that one corpse, with the area around him and bury him somewhere else. But what the Mishnah is saying, but now that you already found three corpses together in one area, so you have to be concerned that this is one big shchunas hakfaris, and that's why you have to check 20 amos later, even though now that you're finding just one grave, it tells us we have to check 20 amos past that, because it's not just on its own now. Now there's already reglayim ledavar, there's already there's red flags here that are telling us that there's likely to assume that there's possibly more graves out over here. So now the Gemara brings Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda explains the wording of our Mishnah precisely as it is regarding this halacha of 1 and 2 verses 3. So the word of the Mishnah was, HaMaitzei Meis Petchil, if someone initially finds a grave, then if he's Mushkev Kedarka, if he's leaning, if he's laying in a normal way, then you could take him and what's around him and move him elsewhere. Now, in that review, this says, when it says matzah, that you find the corpse, the grave, that's prat lematzui, if he's already found. In other words, if it was known that this person was buried here for the purposes of burial, then you actually can't take him, even though it's one grave, as we mentioned before. It's only because we can assume, why is it just one grave here? Obviously, it wasn't meant to be buried here. It was supposed to be just temporary, and they ended up leaving him over here. Then you can move him. But if it was specifically meant for burial, then even one grave you can't move. Moreover, when we said that if you find a mess, a corpse, that's prat laharik. That's excluding somebody that was murdered. Now, actually, someone that was murdered, he doesn't have the halacha of having to take tfusasa, the earth from around him. And moreover, he doesn't create the shchunas hakvaris if you find three murdered people. And the reason being is because, as we'll see shortly, someone that's murdered, generally the blood drains out and there's something missing from the person. He didn't have a natural death, and therefore it's considered like he's lacking, hence he doesn't have the full halachic status of a corpse to create a shchunas hakvar. Then, when the Tana of the Mishnah said Mushkov, that he's laying, Prat Liyeshev, that excludes if we find him buried sitting. And when it says that he's laying Kedarka in the normal way, that's Prat L'Shereshe Munach Ben Yarkoisav, that excludes if, let's say, that he wasn't laying in the normal way, but actually that he was laying with his head between his legs. Where the reason for these two, as we'll see shortly, is because we're concerned, we have reason to believe that maybe that they're really non-Jews, And the reason being is because they're not buried the way Jews normally bury their dead, and therefore there is no halacha of creating shchunas hakvaris. It's only by a Jewish corpse. So the Gemara explains, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, he taught in the Braisa that Meis Shechaser, which is this halacha that we mentioned of Horeg when someone was murdered, if the corpse is missing part of him, Ein Lo Tfusa, he doesn't have the halacha of creating to take the earth around him, and Belei Shechunas Kvaris neither. If you have three of them, does that create a neighborhood of Kvar? V'chol Hani my time alone. What's with the other two that we mentioned about that when they're sitting or when he has, let's say, not laying in the normal way, but rather between his legs, that won't create the Shechunas HaKvaris? So I mean, we said because Dilma Eber Kachavim, we have reason to believe that they're non-Jews, they're idol worshippers, because Jewish people don't bury their dead that way, and that's why that won't be a problem of Shechunas HaKvaris, even if we find three of them. Now the Gemara brings a braisa that says, Matzah Shnayim. If we find two graves, Reishis Shalzeh Bitzad Margulaysev Shalzeh, the head of one corpse is by the foot of the other one, and Reishis Shalzeh Bitzad Margulaysev Shalzeh, and the head of the other one is by the foot of the other one, meaning to say that they're side by side, but one is facing one way, one is facing the other way, which that's not the normal way how Jewish people bury their dead. So the Talmud says, Ein Lem Tfus. Again, so therefore they don't have the halacha of having to take the earth around that corpse when you're moving it. But Shechunas Kvaris neither does it make into halacha of a cemetery, again, because that's only by when you find Jewish dead. Moreover, Matzah Shleicha, let's say you do find three corpses, but Ha'echad Yidua, one of them was a known grave that was over there, but it wasn't known that if it was buried over there for the intention of being buried there for permanence, or if it was buried there only temporarily to be able to move it, but it was known that it was there. Vishnaim Trila, now however, let's say they were digging around and they now found that they never knew about before, that there were actually two other corpses buried right next to that other one, so this was the first time that they found it. Oi, which the Gemara says, Echad Trila Vishnaim Yidum. Well, let's say there was actually two that were known to be buried there. We already knew there was two buried there, but two, again, usually is not a problem, even though we knew there was buried there, because we can assume that it was buried there just for the meantime. But we found one now for the first time. We didn't know there's actually a third one. And the Gemara says, actually, Yeshlem Tfusa. So they do have the halacha of Tfusa, meaning if you want to move them, you can move them with the, yeah, but you have to take the earth around them. And the Ein Lehem Shechunas Kvaris, they actually do not create a halacha of a cemetery. And you could actually move all three of them. Now, why? If there's three, which you're saying they're Jewish corpses, that's why you have to take Tfusas. And so why is it that if you have three that you can move them and they're not considered a cemetery? The reason is because they didn't have the same characteristics. In other words, we don't have to say that they were buried there for the intentions of being a cemetery. The reason being is because all three are not the same type. Because you have two of them that weren't known beforehand, they were just found now. Or even when you had two that were known and one that's found now for the first time, so therefore they're different. Now, however, you're right, if all three were known already that they were buried here, or this was the first time that you found all three, then we would say that probably it's a cemetery and then you wouldn't be able to remove it. So, as Taisus brings it from the Rashbam, either that this halacha l'moshem b'Sinai, that it has to be that they're the same type, meaning when you find three that we say that, oh, we assume it's a cemetery, you can't move them, is only if we knew three were buried here, or we only found now for the first time three buried there. But if we had known about two and only found one now, or we only knew about one and found two now, they're not the same, and therefore then we can move them. Or the Ri actually gives a reasoning, and he says that, no, there's no reason for us to assume that it's a cemetery, and to say, well, because there's three buried there, we say, oh, so that's probably a cemetery. Is because, no, since we already knew about one corpse, that was one grave that was there from beforehand, if it's true that it wasn't intended to be moved and it was meant to be like a cemetery, then just like we knew about that one grave, we would have known about the other two. So why are we just discovering those other two now? That's reason to believe from the fact that we didn't know all three of them, that is, and we only knew part of them, to say because it wasn't meant to be a cemetery, and therefore even if we find three, we can move them all elsewhere. Now, the Gemara brings Maisip Rabbi Shevav, that actually was such an incident with Rabbi Shevav. Shebadak umatzah shnayim yiduin va'echad chila. Could be they were digging up, maybe building something. And they found that there were two graves that they had known about. And now one that they just found out for the first time. Ubikash la'sais in shchunas kvaris. So he wanted to make it into a cemetery, saying, well, three graves, you can't move this. Amalei Rabbi Kiva told him this halacha that we just mentioned. He says, Kol she gata l'riki gata. It says all the effort you were putting into making a shmiras hakvaris that no one should be able to move this was for nothing, because le'amr shchunas kvaris, they didn't say that it has the halacha of a cemetery, elu legimel yiduin oyle shleisha tchila. Unless that these were three graves that we had known about, or that it's the first time that we found out about them. But if part of them were known and part were just found out, even though there's three, it doesn't have that halacha, and you can move them all with tfusasin. Now we mentioned this halacha that it says in the Mishnah, noitlam es tfusasin. So when, let's say, there's only one or two, again, that we don't know that they were specifically buried over here, so we can assume that they weren't meant to be, so you can move them, but you have to move them with what is taifis, what holds on to the corpse itself. So the Gemara asks, heichi dami tfusa, what is this halacha of tfusa? In other words, from where do we see a source that when you're moving a corpse, you have to move the area around them too? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Makra, it says, based on the pasuk in Bereishis, when Yaakov is telling Yosef to take him out from Egypt, to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, he says, Unsasani mi Mitzrayim, and lift me up, take me out from Egypt. Which the understanding is, Tul imi, take with me from the earth of the ground when you take me up to Eretz Yisrael. Now that's learned out from the extra word Mitzrayim. It should have just said, take me up. Why take me from Mitzrayim? To say, actually take from Mitzrayim with me, take part of the earth where I was buried, and take me up, and bring that together when you're moving me from one burial to another one to Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asks, Bekamashir Tfusas, how much is this measurement? How much of the earth around the corpse do you have to take when you're moving? So Pirush Reb Elazar, the Girsa we have in our Gemara is Reb Tzadik, but the Rush actually says that we're not Gerus Reb Elazar Bereb Tzadik, rather it's just Reb Elazar who is an Amira that's explaining this answer, and the Gemara is going to ask from a Brisa actually, from a Tana Reb Elazar Bereb Tzadik, which would contradict this Reb Elazar. So Reb Elazar explains, Neitel Afer Tichuach. First of all, you take the moist earth around the corpse, which became moist because of the blood that came out of the corpse and because of the other liquids that come out. And moreover, you also dig into the virgin soil, which was never penetrated before. Three fingers, which the Yerushalmi explains the reason for that, is because the liquids from the corpse seep into the ground in the area of three fingers around them. So that's considered part of the corpse that you have to move with them. Now, in that interpretation, the Gemara says, Meisve, we ask from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, V'kamashir tfusa. It explains this halacha, says, what's the measurement of tfusa? So Pirush Reb Elazar Bereb Tzadik, and here it is, a Tana Reb Elazar Bereb Tzadik, says, first of all, Neitel Es HaKisman. First, what you do is you take the splinters of the coffin, the Es HaKisman, and also the clumps of the earth, V'Zarikis HaVadoim. Now, first, what you do is that you throw away what's definitely not from the corpse, and it's not going to create Tumah from the corpse. For example, if the coffin is not a part of the corpse, so you take these things and you throw that away. That's not a problem. Umanich es hasfikas. Now you leave the doubtful areas to move it somewhere else because we're concerned of that it might be tummy, might not be. We're not sure. So that you move somewhere else again because if we're building over here, so we don't want to have any tum over here. So what's not, you can just throw away. What's maybe from the mess, you put away somewhere else that it shouldn't be part of this area. Now vahashar and the rest, meaning what's clearly that it is from the corpse, that's mitzdar, so that combines with other elements that transmit tumah, which is either l'rev binyan neishal mes, which is if you have the majority of the structure of the corpse, or let's say with rev binyan would be the same thing, the majority of the amount of limbs of the corpse, or l'rev atzama, so when you have a quarter of a kav of bones, or l'maloi tarvid rakiv, or if you have a spoonful of the dust of the corpse, this other definite parts of the corpse combined with these things to transmit the halachas of tumah. Now, the Rashi actually explains that you have to say regarding the spoonful of the dust of the corpse that this corpse was buried naked in a coffin made out of marble. And then the coffin was opened from the bottom, so therefore, from the decay of the corpse that went out through the bottom into the earth, what's below, and therefore, there are certain parts that we're doubtful about. And if did it come from the earth or is it from the decay of the corpse? Now, but what's inside the coffin is definitely from the mess. And again, that's what we're saying combines together with the dust that's there from the corpse to create this tumah. And the reason being is because if not, there's actually halacha that the spoonful can't have anything else mixed in. It has to be just from the corpse. And if it would be other types of coffin, there might be inside over there in the decay. So it has to be certain things like coffin made out of marble where it definitely didn't break down and be part of this spoonful. Now, but one thing is that we see that the Gemara is asking from Lazar ben Tzaddik on Rabbi Lazar is, obviously Rabbi Lazar ben Tzaddik holds that Tfusa doesn't require you to go into the earth, that is to dig into the virgin soil and take from the Karka Basula, because he doesn't say that. He says that you take what's inside the coffin and what's outside from that earth, you don't know, you put it somewhere else, but he doesn't mention that you have to dig in to the Karka Basula, three fingers. So on that, the Gemara answers, you're right, Rabbi Lazar ben Tzaddik is not like Rabbi Lazar, but who da amar ki ay tana? Rabbi Lazar was going like a different tana. To tell you, like, learn the braisa, for kama shir tfusa, what's the measurement of tfusa? So amar bi yechanan, ben shu ben nazai, in the name of ben nazai, neitel afrit ichwach, exactly how Rabbi Lazar said, you take from the moist earth, and b'chayif rabbi b'sula shalash atboiz, you have to dig into the virgin soil, three fingers, so that is because, again, as Yerushalmi said, it seeps into that area, so you have to take all that when you're interring, when you're moving the corpse from this place to another place. Now the Mishnah said, so if we find three corpses, it's Shchunas HaKvaris, and Beit Dikeminin, now you have to assume that maybe this is part of a larger, intricate network of this larger area of a cemetery. So you have to check further 20 Amos again, because that's from one end of this, because they're usually connected, of the 20 Amos, which is one side of one Ma'ara, which is connected through a tzada to another ma'ara to the other end, so you gotta go and search at least up until 20 amos. Now we continue on Tamid Beis. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi explains a halacha relevant to our discussion. He says, Badak Upana, he says, if let's say that the person inspects, meaning like when somebody finds one grave, so he checks and he finds a grave, so he takes it and he removes it, which you're allowed to do when you find just one grave. And now he doesn't know that there are any other graves. Then, as they're continuing their digging, let's say they're making a foundation, Badak, now he checks and he finds another grave. Upana, and then he moves it away. Now, Badak ve'ashkech, now they continue digging and they find a third grave. So, what do you do now? So, Rabbi says, Loihai mefani le'gabe hanach trei. This third one, you're not allowed to remove from here like he did the previous two. And the reason now is because now it's been clarified that obviously we're talking about a cemetery over here. We're talking about Shchunas Kvaris. So, although the first two you were allowed to move, because you only found two, but now that you found the third one, you can't move it. Obviously, we're talking about a cemetery. But, V'loihani Trei L'gabi Haichat. So, you can't move this one to the other two, but neither do you have to move those two. The Chacham didn't require you to move those two to that one that you're keeping over there to the original place. And the reason being is because at the time when you had removed the first two, you didn't know that there's a third one, that it's a Shchunas Kvaris, so you did it in a permitted way, so you could already leave them there. You don't have to bring them back to where obviously their real burial place was, which is actually in the cemetery. Ikida Adami, Omer Rava, there actually those that say a different version of Rava. It says, Kivan Shenosn Rishus Lefanes, since there was permission to remove, in other words, when you had removed the first two, you did it in a permissible way because you didn't find yet a third one, so it wasn't assumed to be a Shchunas Kvaris. So actually, this version of Rava says, Mefanelein, so you could actually remove even the third one from there because now there's only one here because the first two you were allowed to move. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, but Belashavino Shchunas Kvaris, why is that? Now that it's been revealed that obviously we're talking about a cemetery because we found three, why are you allowed to remove the third one? We should consider it as a cemetery. So although you moved out the first two, but the third one should be left over there. Now, on that Amar Shlakish, it says, Ilu Matzu, which means to say that they found, so to speak, like an excuse, even just a small amount of logic, because Vitiru Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to purify Eretz Yisrael, and the reason is because of the Kehanim and those who fulfill their life based on that level of Tahara of as Kehanim. And therefore, here also, since the first two were permissibly removed, so now that there's only one left, they permitted you to remove the third one too. And it's not considered like, although we know technically it should seem like that even one that we know was buried, you can't move if it was meant to be buried. He would say that, no, we don't know definitely. In other words, if you have one that you know for sure was buried here, you now let it move that. So here we're saying, wait a second, you had three. So although you removed the first two and now you only have one, but it's like you know for sure the one was buried over here. And that's how the Rush explains, says, no, we don't. When there's three, we just assume. So when there's three, you can't move it. But now that you already moved the first two and you're only left with one, so it's not one that was definitely, it's an assumption of one, and therefore since there's only one, you could remove that one too, and again, therefore there's not going to be any problem of tumah in that place where they're digging and creating whatever area of domestication that they're doing over there. Now, similarly, the Gemara asks that regarding this halacha, the mission that we said that you have to check 20 amas further, badak mi asim am v'loy matzah. So the Gemara asks that let's say they checked. So that's what you said. You said you find three. Oh, Shchunas Kvaris, cemetery. Got to check now 20 amas later. Let's say they check 20 amas later and they don't find within 20 amas any other corpses, any other graves. My, what's the halacha? Now, the way the Rush says in his second interpretation, he says the question is, actually, can you now take the first three and actually remove them? Now, the reason being is because before you check those 20 amas, we were saying, oh, wait a second, three together? That's very likely, as the Ma'aris were, that how they would make their graves on the ground, to assume that this is part of a larger cemetery. But now the Gemara's question is that since we checked the larger area and we didn't find any other graves, so actually, contrarily now, it tells us that those three were not a cemetery, not a Shchunas Kvaris, because no, it's not normal to create a cemetery for just three graves. Usually you have maybe three in one area, but then you have the larger area, all a network of graves, and they don't find any of it. So the question is, now that we checked, what's halacha? Can we actually take these three and remove them? And then Rav Menashe, by Yom Yomarav, he says, no. Shchunas Kvaris, it has the halachic status that since we found three in one place, it's machzik, that it has halacha of a cemetery, even though we didn't find any more. Now, the next words in the Gemara, the Rush says actually not to be gairis. And the reason being is because these words are indicating a leniency, and the Gemara just said a stringency, that even though you didn't find 20 amas later, we're still going to consider these three as a cemetery. Or ultimately, that there are those who want to interpret that the Gemara's discussion now of my tama, what's the reason is that why if we checked in one direction 20 amas, don't we have to check in other direction 20 amas to say, oh, wait a second, if it's not this way, okay, fine, but maybe it's in other directions because we have reason to assume that they're connected in this network, which would be within the area of 20 amas. On that, Amresh Lakish, he says, Elam Matzah B'Tir as Eretz Yisrael, that they found excuses and they wanted to purify Eretz Yisrael. We don't require you to check to find out if there are other corpses, but the Rush doesn't like that interpretation of the Gemara, and therefore he takes out these words from the Girsa of our Gemara. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. So although it doesn't mention this concept of Ruglaim L'davar, but since it's similar to the next Mishnah, that's what introduces this, because the next Mishnah will then say this concept that we're introducing this for of Ruglaim L'davar, because there's indicators for us to say that that's the reality. So the Mishnah says, Kol Safik Negoim. Anytime there's a doubt regarding a Nega, now B'tchilo Tahar. Now this is actually in the fifth paragraph of Masechtas Negoim is where the main discussion of this Mishnah is. But the idea is that anytime you have a doubt regarding a nega, tzaras, so if it's an initial nega that now we're not sure about, so then we're going to consider it as tahar. But, says the Mishnah, that's actually niskik l'tumah. That's only if it wasn't yet considered as tummy. Where the case is as follows. If let's say there's two people that come to a kain, because the kain is the one that has to declare if it's tummy or not. Now, one has a baharis, which is the actual nega itself, that's the size of a gris, size of a bean. Now, the other one has the size of a sella, the size of a coin. Now, at the end of the week, which when they check to see what happened, did it get bigger or not, to see if it's tame or not, so each one now has a nega the size of a coin, of a sella, but we don't know who's the one that was originally just a gris, and now extended to be larger, which is a sign of tuma as a sella, and which one remained the same as a sella. So in that, the halacha is that whether we're talking about one person or two people, the neg is actually going to be tar. Now, although definitely one of them is definitely tummy, that his head extended, and for sure when we're talking about one person who had two negayim, one was the size of a sella, and one was a gris that extended into a sella, still the halacha is going to be that it's going to be tar. Now, the reason for this is that it's brought in Teretz Kayinim, it's learned from a pasuk that says, V'timei oisai, which means to say the definite one, only if you have a nega that's definitely, that we know this is the one that extended, because it's not going just on the person, it's going in the nega, then it's going to be tame. But if it's a suffix, even though for sure one of them is the one, but we can't say clearly this is that one, then it's actually not going to be tame. And therefore, that regarding such a doubtful nega, we're going to say that it's tahar. But mishaniskik latama, if it was already considered tame, and now sveka, now we have a suffix, if it receded, in other words, if it's now not any more tummy, then the halacha is going to be that it's going to be tummy. Now, that case is tolma, for example. Let's say there's two people that come to a kohen, and one has, again, a baharis, a nega the size of a gris, and the other one has the size of a sela. Same type of case. But at the end of the week, each one has now more than both of them had had. They both have the size of a sela and more. So now they're both going to be tame until they now recede to the size of a gris, meaning one only has to go back to the size of the sela. The other one started off as a gris, and that would say now they both have to go back to the smaller measurement. And that's also learned down in Taras Kainim from the Pasuk that says, Vatir Oisai. In other words, what's definite, we're going to be Matar. What's not definite, what's a Safik, we're not going to be Matar. And therefore, since it's doubtful regarding if it's now went back to what it was to purify itself, that we can only say by definite. So if it's not, if we're saying for the first time to be Matame, the Safik will say it's not Tame. But if it's already Tame and we're Safik is that we're going to be Matar it, then the Safik is we're going to say that it's not Tar. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah says, that regarding the initial assessment of the Nega, regarding becoming Tame, we're going to say Safik is Tar. Regarding becoming Tar, we're going to say the Safik remains Tame. Now, and again, that's also related to this concept of remaining with what it was up until now, with the similar idea of Raglayin L'Davar, it retains its original status. Now, on that, the Gemara is Menon Emili. From where do we know this halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah of Safik Negoim L'Hakal, that when you have a doubtful, is it a neg or not, we'll say leniently and we'll say that it's tahar. So Amr Behuda Murav, he says, Amakrat, based on the Pasuk of Yikra, the Pasuk says regarding the, when it talks about Zayis Teres HaNega, so it says, L'taharai or L'tamai, meaning to say that the Kohen comes, he evaluates it, if it's tahar or tamai. No. Hayil Pasuk by Akasa, but tahar atchila. What's the first term that the Pasuk opens up with? It opens up with the concept of tahar. So from there you could learn that regarding any doubt that we have, is it going to be tar or tamay? We'll go with the first thing the Pasuk says, which is that we'll say that it's tar and not tamay. Now, that interpretation, the Gemara asks, Ihachi. If that's the case, and that is you're learning it out from this Pasuk that says, Safik of a nega is lahakal, that it's going to be tar, well then, afila mishan iskak litumma, then even if it was already tamay, nami sveki tar. Now, the doubt if it's not tamay anymore, but rather it's tar, should also be tar, because it's a kseir sakasim. You say any doubt you have, you say tar over tamma. So why is our Mishnah differentiating and saying that no, only if it's not nizkik l'tumma, then it's tar. But if it's nizkik l'tumma, then it's not. Why? The Pasuk says you always go tar over tumma. So Ella, the Gemara says, you're right. Ki itma de Rabbi Yehuda Merav, when did we say this proof of the Pasuk, of this latar l'tamoy, from Rabbi Yehuda Merav? It's actually aha itma, was actually going on a different discussion. It's going for a different drasha that the Gemara is going to quote right now. Now, so the Rosh addresses, so although the Mishnah does differentiate between Nizkuk L'tumah or not Nizkuk L'tumah, on that Rabbi Yehuda Merav is not coming to answer that when the Gemara asks Menon Emili. Rather, he says that there are Psukim and Taras Kainim that expound where do we know the differences between Nizkuk L'tumah or not, like our Mishnah explained the differences, is again, which is related to this concept that we're saying of Raglayim L'Davar, that it retains, if it was not yet Tumah, it's going to stay not Tumah. If it was already Tumah, then it's going to stay already Tumah. So then what was Rabbi Yehuda Merav when he said that we know this idea from the Tal Tamei going on, if it's not going in the halacha of our Mishnah? It was going on the following Mishnah, Masechtas Negoyim. The Mishnah says, Im Baharis Kodma Lasar Lovin Tamei. There's two components for a certain type of a nega, which is you have the Baharis, you have the discoloration of the skin. Moreover, is that the hair changes color, it becomes white. So on that, the Mishnah there says that if the Baharis, if the stain on the skin came before the white hair, only then will that be considered a nega that's tummy. Now, the reason for this is because the Pasuk says, Behi hafcha sar lovin, that it changed now the hair into white, which sounds like is that the baharis that was already there beforehand, now it changes even more than just the skin, it changes now the hair. So you see that the baharis has to be before the hair turning white. But v'im sar lovin, kaidin baharis tar, but if the hair had turned white and then the baharis came, then it's going to be tar. Now, Safik, what do you do if you're not sure? We don't know which one came first. So the Tanna Kamma says, Tummy. Out of the doubt, we're going to say that it's a Tummy Nega. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a Keya, but Rabbi Yeshua says Keya. So the Gemara says, my Keya, what does Keya mean? So I'm Rabbi Huda, he says Keya Vitar. It means to say that it's pure. And the reason is like the Pasuk says, Vihina Keya Nega, that the Nega diminishes, meaning to say that it's receding of the Tumma, and to say that, he says, when it's a situation of doubt, it's going to be Tar. Now, that the Gemara adds, Vidima Keya Vitame. which the Rush explains, it's not really asking on the terminology of Keya. I mean, Keya definitely means that Rabbi Yeshua is trying to say that it's Tahar. But the question is, why is it Rabbi Yeshua says that the doubt is going to be Tahar? Maybe it's fit to be Tameh. And essentially, really, it's like the Rush says, the Gemara is like asking Munah and Emili. It just says that by Masech Desnaza, the wording, the vernacular, the terminology is different, but it's really saying, Munah and Emili, where does Rabbi Yeshua know this from? That when you have a doubtful Nega, you're going to say Tahar over Tameh. That is on Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Amakra, the Pasuk says, L'tahar or L'tameh. When it talks about the Nega, it says, to make it pure or to make it Tameh. And then that is the interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua, Hayel Pasuk b'hakasa b'tahar t'chilev, since the Pasuk opened up with Tahar first. So therefore, it means to say that if we have a choice, because we don't know, it's a situation of doubt, which one do you do? You choose Tahara over Tuma, and that's why he says, Keya, when it's a situation of doubt, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda Marav was going on, not on the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, continuing on these halachas of Raglayim Ladavar, again, a Mishnah that's discussed at length elsewhere, says, B'shiva drachim b'yit kines azav. There are seven ways that we inspect a zav. In other words, the halacha is that if a man has an emission from his body, from his aver, so if it's one time, then he has just halacha like someone that has a keri, a seminal emission. If he has it two times, he has halacha of a zav, tamei for 7 days, halacha of mishka v'maishav, he's metame just by sitting on things, even if it's way under him. If he has three times, then he becomes tamei for the 7 days, and more, he has to bring karbanas after that he's done. Now, however, additionally, there's a certain halacha that goes into this tuma creating of zav, is that it has to be that there was no external causes of him having this emission. For example, if he saw it because of an oinus, something else forcibly made him have this ziva. As we'll see in the Mishnah, there are seven different things that could cause it, not from a natural way. Then he's actually going to be tar. He's not going to be considered a zav because the pasuk says it has to be zav mibisaroi from his flesh, which tells us, and not because of some external causes. So there's seven ways that we inspect him to see, meaning to check if he had these elements to say, oh, that's what caused it, and it wasn't naturally. Actually, niskek leziva. Only if he yet didn't become a zav. In other words, we're talking about regarding the second time that he had this ziva, where that's what then concludes and says that, oh, now you're a zav, because now he will transmit tumma that only a zav does by what he sits on or what he lays on. Meaning in contrast to the first time he has this ziva emission, where there actually the tumma will be, even if it's ba'inus, even if some external causes caused it, where he'll be tummy until the evening, because then he just has the halacha like a balkeri who has a seminal emission, as the Gemara explains in Perek B'nai's Kutim, says in the pasuk Zayis Teres Azav, and Vashar Teitzim Yemen Neshech Vazera, there's a comparison, an equation between Azav and someone that has a seminal emission, which means to say that the first Re'iyah of Azav is compared and equated to a balkeri. And therefore, even if it's through an oinus, that will combine with the second ri'ah of ziva, even if the first one was ba'oinus. So what we're talking about is, but regarding the second time, if you didn't become yet a zav, meaning because this is the second time you're having this ziva emission, so if it's concluded that it wasn't through any external things, then you would become a zav. Then you would have a different halacha, like we'll see shortly, regarding the third time you have a ziva emission. Here we're talking about that you didn't yet become a zav, because this is the second time you're having it. And if we conclude that this was natural, then you'll become a zav. But we're checking to see if you're really going to become a zav, because maybe it wasn't mibsari, maybe there was something else that caused you to have this emission. And what are these seven things that we check to see if maybe they caused you, and therefore we won't assume you to be a zav? They're b'maichel. If let's say he ate a lot of food, or he ate certain specific foods that could cause ziva, as the Gemara explains in the first Perek Masechta Yuma, there are certain things that could cause this emission, or ubemishta, or if he drank a lot, or bemaso, or if he carried a heavy load, or bekfitza, if he jumped, or bechayli, if he's ill, uvemara, or if he looked at a woman, even if he wasn't thinking about her, or vahira, or if he was thinking about a woman, even if he didn't see her. Now, if we ascertain that one of these seven things apply to him, because let's say we find out that he ate these foods, or he had jumped, or whatever it is, so then, if he had done these things before he had the second emission, then he's not going to become a zav. And even that drop that comes out of him will not be metame b'masa, which applies to ziva, that emission transmits tumah for someone that carries it. Now, however, says the Mishnah nizkak l'ziva. So let's say he already had two full-fledged ziva emissions, so he's already a zav, then the halacha is actually ein b'yit kim naisai. Then we don't inspect to see regarding the third time that he has the Ziva mission to see, oh, maybe something of an oinus caused it, doesn't make a difference, because actually, even if it's an oinus that caused the third Ziva mission, once you were a Zav, which is a full-fledged Zav from the second time of being Tamei for that duration as a Zav is, then the halacha is actually for a carbon, which is what happens when you have a third Ziva mission, will be even if it was in a case of an oinus. So therefore, there's no reason of checking him to see if something caused it. We don't care. Now, the reason is, as the Mishnah explains, oinsai, even if it was caused by external circumstances, or visveikai, or if there's actually a situation of doubt, if this is the tumah of ziva or not, the shechva zari, or even the semen that comes out from a zav, all of them will be tameim, they will be considered tamei, meaning once he was already niskak leziva, when he already had two full-fledged ziva emissions. And the reason is, and this is why we're introducing this Mishnah, is shereg layim ledavar. Because there are already indicators for us to assume that, meaning as the Gemara will explain. So for example, let's say regarding this, one of these three ideas of Einzai, Sveik, and Shech Vazarai, where if let's say there's something else that he had done before he had this third emission, let's say he jumped, he was thinking about a woman or whatever it is, there are reglaim ledavar, there are indicators for us to say that it wasn't because of this external circumstance that caused it. And the reason is because once you resolve, we entertain that it was because of Yeziva that caused it, meaning from Besarai, and not one of these external circumstances. And the same thing would apply to Sveikir, Shech Vazarai, as we'll see in the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah continues with a different idea, again, that's just brought here because of the reglaim ledavar component. Hamaka es chaveir, if someone hits, he deals a blow to his friend. Vamdu lamisa, and then they evaluate it, says this was some knock, he's probably going to die from this. Now, but vehekel memashaya, then however, his situation got a turn for the better. Then la'achar mekan hech b'remes, then it got worse and he died. So on that, the Tanna Kamma holds chayiv, the first person is guilty of murder. Now, Rav Nechemya Mepate says no. He says the person is exempt. And the reason is shereglaim ledavar, because there are indicators for us to say that this person that ended up dying was ill and he died from his own situation. And the reason being is because as we see that his situation got better. And again, that's why we're introducing this here thing over here, because of the idea of reglaim ledavar. Now, the Gemara asks, Menuhan Emili, from where do we know this idea that we mentioned the differentiation in the Mishnah regarding the seven ways that we inspect if this is ziva or was it something else that caused it? That regarding the second time we inspect, but regarding the third ri'ah, we don't inspect if to see if it was caused through an oinus, because we don't care. For the halacha of a carbon, which happens by the third ri'ah, that will be even if it was caused by oinus. So Amr ibn Nasni says, Amr Kratz, based on the pasuk in Vayikra that says, V'hazav es zayvay, that if he flows his flow, meaning this flow of this emission that comes out of his male member, the pasuk there continues, La'zachar v'lanakeva, for a male or a female, because there's a male is a zav, a female is a zava, they both have this halacha of creating the halacha of ziva. Now, but if we count up the terminologies, when it says hazav, that's one ziva, one flow. Zayvai is a second flow. That's what the pasuk means when it says it's going to be lazachar, meaning up until now he had the halacha of a male, which as we said, for his ziva, he does not create the tumah of ziva if it was ba'inus, it was caused by some external circumstance. But then the pasuk continues and says, but from here and on will be v'lanakeva, that actually even the male will have the halachic status as a female, which means to say, l'ri'iyah shlishis iskish l'nakeva. For his third emission, he's actually compared to a nakeva, who as the Gemara explains elsewhere in Perek Menes Kutim, that they do create the tumah of ziva, even ba'inus. So that's how we see this halacha, that for the first two he's like a zachar, but for the third one he's like a nakeva, where it's even going to be for the bringing of a carbon, even if it was caused by ba'inus. Now that the Gemara asks, but Batanu Lit Nabraisa, Rabbi Lazo, I mean, he says, Bishlish is bait kenois. He says, no, actually, by the third one, you do check to see if it was caused by an oinus, because obviously he holds that a re'iyah of oinus does not cause him to even bring a carbon as a zav. It's only berviyah sein bait kenois. He says, only by the fourth emission that we don't inspect. In other words, although there's no higher level of a zav after the third emission, the fourth one, however, will be that if you have another emission, then that demolishes the tzais of the days of tahara that you're counting to become tar. And that is what Rabbi Elazar says, that we check by the fourth one to see, okay, but maybe that was caused by some other external circumstances, and if it was ba'inus, then it wouldn't be tzaiser the days of that you're counting to be tar. So that contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah, we'd say that for two, it makes a difference of oinus and three not. And by Rav Elazar, we see that for three, it makes a difference of oinus and four not. So that the Gemara says, Ela ba'estim kamiflagi. Obviously, they're arguing regarding the word es that says there in the pasuk, and that is Rabbi Yezid Darish Esim. Rabbi Yezid expounds the word es. In other words, he counts hazav, when it says in the pasuk hazav, that's one. Es, it says hazav is zayvai. Es is a second, a reference to a second emission. Zayvai is a reference to a third one. That's what the pasuk is saying, that's la zachar. And then it's the fourth one that's going to be la nekeva, but Rabbanan le darshi esim. But Rabbanan, they don't expound the word es, and again, therefore they have it two and three. Two is la zachar, and three is la nekeva, where einus doesn't make a difference. Whereas again, Rabbi Elazar holds that S does count, so you have three that count as a zachar, where it makes a difference if it's einus or not, and the la nekeva is going to be the fourth one. Again, that's only regarding being seiser, his yimei tara. That's where the relevance of comes in by the halacha of if it doesn't make a difference if it's einus or not, is going to be regarding the fourth one, because there, even if you saw it einus, it will still be seiser, the yimei tara of the zava.